In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I entered religious life 42 years ago, this past August. And according to some of my friends, and maybe even as I look back upon my life itself, it seems that in the course of those 42 years, I have been in a warlike posture, engaging all the various experiences, whether it be the novitiate and my novice master, whether it be the seminary and the rector, whether it be my first parish and my pastor, when I taught high school, the principal, when I went to Rome, the rector there, and so on and so forth, that I was constantly embattled. I would like to think it's because of all those people around me simply would not bend to my will, but in truth, it was more that I simply found it easier to engage this world with an aggressiveness, kind of wrapped up in kind of a holy righteousness to vindicate my disposition. After all of these experiences were in search of the truth, a desire for the triumph of Holy Mother Church against her enemies. And maybe second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth, a certain vindication that I was doing it the right way and everybody else was doing it the wrong way. I don't think there's anything wrong with the battle. Not even necessarily that I entered into it. But I do think the manner in which I entered into it was wrong. Because in truth, over these 42 years, for all of the successes that I may be able to point to, I can sadly point to more failures. And the failures don't come from God, because God is always successful. The failures are always only my own. And the failure is not in the truth or righteousness connected to the proclamation of the truth. The failure is in the manner in which I went forth and proclaimed that truth. By my own power, by my own steam, by my own understanding, relying upon my own devices instead of again and again turning to God. And in truth, in this self-evaluation that I'm going through here right in front of you, my successes can be explicitly, directly connected to doing what God asks me to do. When I give myself into the hands of the Lord and I arm myself with the things of God, then I can enter into the battle. When I do it by myself, there might be a few successes at the very beginning, but ultimately it ends in failure. And why? Precisely what St. Paul says to the Ephesians, that we're engaged in spiritual forces of wickedness on high. We are waging war against principalities and powers, against the world rulers of this darkness that seems to not only overshadow the world, sometimes can overshadow our hearts, our very beings. We are natural creatures, by baptism elevated to supernatural creatures, who in engaging these supernatural realities oftentimes fall back on natural means in order to do this. So the erudition of my arguments, or the consistency with which I hammer away at this issue or that issue, engaging people on the internet and all the various forms of mediated communication, blogging and texting and this, that, or the other thing, teaching and preaching and proclaiming, all of these things have their place, have their due, and in a certain way can be successful. But in the final analysis, they all must give way to trust and confidence in God. Because again, for all of those very poignant arguments that we might make and those zingers we might give to our enemies, well, they might have some success. They could just as easily end in failure. And certainly sometimes the successes that we have, we believe, come from our own doing, our own devices. I did this. I accomplished this. I was successful. But you accomplished very little on your own. And whatever successes you might point to ultimately are not yours, especially when they are connected to the mystery of God himself. They belong to him and to him alone. He allows you to share in them, certainly. He draws you into them and he expects you to be a part of them. But all praise and honor must be given to him now and forever. I can never say it is something that I did, something that I accomplish, but rather God in me, God working with me and through me, uses me as an instrument of grace and transformation. The more humble and pliable I am in the hands of God, the more successful his message is throughout the whole world. And so what does St. Paul say to the Ephesians? Are the armaments with which we should prepare ourselves? The armor of God, that you may be able to resist the evil of the day. Therefore, stand girded your loins with truth. Put on the breastplate of justice. Have your feet shod with the readiness of gospel peace. In all things, taking up the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the most wicked one. And at last, take unto you the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. On one level, Paul's exhortation seems quite beautiful and lyrical. It seems impractical. After all, we're waging war and truth and justice and faith and salvation, Spirit. Yes, those are the things that God does. But what do? I go forth and I argue and I engage and I battle and I rage. But St. Paul says these are not the way the battle is won. The battle is won through truth and justice and salvation and peace and the sword of the Spirit. Only in God can there be this juxtaposition of an exhortation to battle armaments, and at the same time, this life of virtue, which truly is a life of peace. St. Paul is not saying don't engage. What he is saying is when you do engage, and in truth you must engage, because where there is injustice, it must be battled by justice. And where there is untruth and lies, it must be countered and vanquished by the truth that is Christ and Holy Mother Church. And where there is evil, it must be rooted out. But to do this, we must do this in the same manner that our King has been victorious. Christ, who could have called down armies, chose not to do that, but instead mounted the throne of his cross and suffered and died at the hands of his enemies. And at the precise moment when they mocked and ridiculed him for his weakness, that he truly vanquished sin and death once and for all and made manifest that this battle, this war into which we have been drawn, first successfully by Christ, and now by the manner in which each of us lives. We enter into this and participate in the success by doing as our Lord himself did, following after our general in the manner in which he has gone, listening to the King and seeing how the King has chosen to respond to his enemies, truth and justice and peace, salvation. And all of this, as our gospel relates, wrapped up in mercy. This may be the most difficult thing that any of us are asked to do. I understand argument. I understand hammering away over and over and over again. And even in those moments when I think that I'm done with the fight, there is just a little bit energy left in me to engage it once again. But as I have grown older and I have seen more failure than success, I realize that it's precisely because I have not taken to heart the exhortation that is given to me from St. Paul. I have not followed after Christ, but have somehow convinced myself that I must take the Lord's place and do more than he actually did, when all that he has done is all that needs to be done. And from where does it come that I believe I can be the Savior, when the Savior has already done and brought about salvation to the whole world? Certain hubris, a certain lack of humility, and unwillingness to bend in my own knee, at times an unwillingness to show that mercy that has been bestowed upon me. And yet precisely because of that mercy, I can hear these words and this exhortation again and know that the Lord has provided me yet another chance tomorrow or the day after to live rightly in his sight. So yes, I encourage you to go forth and to wage war and to do battle against sin and untruth, to prepare yourself for those forces that are truly arrayed against us. And those forces are real and sometimes tangible and palpable. Evil is not a theoretical construct swirling out there in our own minds. It exists. And Satan does prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. And there are evil spirits that tempt us and try to draw us away from God. All these things are true and real. But the response cannot be my own natural inclinations. I must turn to God again and again, relying upon mercy and truth and justice and salvation to bring about that peace so I can continue to enter into the battle. And precisely at that moment where I may feel as if I have failed, or the world may mock and ridicule me, and my success seems to be an illusion, it is at that moment that God will lift me up and the vindication truly will come. And the vindication will not be my own. The vindication will belong to God, His first, last, and always. So put on your head the salvation that has been won for you and live your life fully in the Spirit of God who stirs up your hearts and allows you to respond generously and humbly and pliably to Him. Listen to the Word of God proclaimed in Scripture, but more poignantly, powerfully, beautifully, the living Word of God whom you are about to receive. The Word of God who continues to speak eloquently and perfectly to each of us in the Blessed Sacrament. And then go forth and realize that indeed you are in a battle, in a war that is already won, and you share in a victory by living this life of grace and virtue and peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.